This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:05 in the evening, and as promised, welcome to the first episode of our brand new show, the monthly Movers and Shakers Town Hall. The idea here is we're going to be bringing you direct access to the folks who are making our country what it is today. And our phone lines are open. This is really your show. Call us at 7733 2900. Text or WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Our first guest, of course, is Federal Territories Minister Khalid Samad. YB, welcome to the show.
All right, thank you.
So we've been talking about Outriders. And we got this question here from Iz, who was quite specific. Did YB use Outriders to make it to the studio? We have to open with that.
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry to disappoint everyone, but yes, I did use Outriders to come here. It's something which the DBKL, they arranged for the Federal Territory Minister and the mayor. But I could not have made it on time if I did not use the Outriders for KL. You know, when I was originally appointed the Minister of Federal Territories, I was feeling very reluctant about using Outriders, and for the first 1 or 2 weeks, I avoided using the Outrider. But in the end, I found that I could not do as much because, you know, as everyone knows, we'll be caught in the jam. Today, because I was using the Outriders, I managed to handle all 5 appointments in time, although they were, you know, mainly in Kuala Lumpur. But it's a choice that I have to make.
Just very quickly, though, I mean, there have been some conversations about an issue of courtesy when it comes to Outriders, with some road users describing a lack of it. What comments would you have on that?
Well, we've had a word with our group of Outriders from DBKL. I think they're a group of about 8, and we've told them that they have to, you know, be very, try to be as courteous as possible. And I've noticed that whenever people give way, they give the drivers a thumbs up sign and right. that sort of thing. So it's a bit, of an improvement. It's not too,
not too rough.
Not too rough. I suppose, what can you do? I mean, that's the best that you can do, I suppose. You know, they put on the siren. They tell people to go to the side. No clenched fist, no foot up or whatever. I've seen that happening in the past.
You know, yes, I think a lot of people have, unfortunately.
Now, yeah, I've seen that in my experience, they don't use that. And I only get my Outrider for KL, because the moment I leave KL, then it's out of their jurisdiction.
So right out the gate, we have a caller. We've got Baisha on the line. Baisha, good evening. What are your thoughts?
Good evening.
Hello. And you had a question
yes.
for YB?
Baisha?
Yes. Assalamualaikum, YB.
Assalamualaikum.
Memang bahasa Malaysia lah, YB, eh?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
I'm from Bukit Jelutong.
Okay. Shah Alam.
Your area, boss.
Yes.
YB, terima kasih atas ketegasan YB. Saya berniaga di Sentul. Saya dah beberapa kali telefon Biro Aduan Awam dan hotline DBKL about the dogs entering the market where Malay customers are very shy to come in and running away.
Okay.
And then no action taken until today.
Oh, okay.
I was really upset on the Bandaraya, when I called the Bandaraya hotline. Must wait for ISO with him 7 days only they can bertindak.
Okay, all right.
Then I ring up to Biro Aduan Awam Putrajaya. Still no action taken. Lot of illegal hawkers are doing business. Pity the person who have license and paying income tax got no business on the weekend.
Okay, all right. Thank you, Ashay. Yeah, these are a lot of problems that we're having, and obviously I can't change everything overnight. Yeah, so a lot of traders who have licenses, they rent out their licenses, and this is one problem. There are those who don't have licenses, and they are trading as well. That's another problem. The question of the dogs and so on, that's another issue. So quite a lot of issues. But most of it, I leave it to DBKL to handle themselves, because I can't micromanage everything.
Right? Sure, but yeah. I think another element that was brought up there was a speed of response. Is there an idea around you know, what to expect?
Yes, they should respond within 24 hours. And to be, this is the KPI that we've set for them. Unless, of course, they've got certain you know, constraints or whatever. But in the event that they do have constraints, then they should get back to the complainant and inform them, we'll be coming back to you tomorrow. We can't do it today, you know, or something like that. So we are these are issues that also we are retraining many of the DBKL staff. Because we've got to, how do you say, make everybody realize that actually we are there because of the rakyat. I mean, not just the minister, even the staff in all the government offices and all that. So the government must have a more, how do you say, friendly face to the public, because they're being paid by the public and they should serve the public, right? So this is something which I think is taking time for it to be fully understood.
Yeah. We're speaking today with Federal Territories Minister Khalid Samad. Call us with your questions, 7733 2900, text or WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
So YB, earlier when you said you were retraining DBKL officers, I just wonder with that, what do they need to be retrained on? What are their struggles?
Well, basically it's a question of attitude, right? So, I mean, in the past, they follow the ministers. The ministers look upon their positions as, you know, how do you say, something that they can take advantage of, that they can use to make themselves rich, to be powerful, you know, not too bothered about what the public is saying. And this filters down. I mean, you follow what your leader shows and how he acts, right? So this is something that I think one of the most important aspect that Pakatan Harapan has to change, which is the general attitude, question of accountability lah. I mean, if you talk about it in terms of the terminology, it's a question of transparency, it's a question of accountability, it's a question of an understanding that you're there because the rakyat put you there. They are paying your salaries. You're supposed to be serving them and not lording over them, right? So that's the concept, right? So that's what we have to talk to the DBKL, the mayor, the... But unfortunately, I've got a new mayor who is very responsive, and he helps, he plays a very big role in trying to bring about changes as well.
So just briefly, before we move on from Aisha's question, what he's come back to say is that currently they're not working according to that KPI of 24/7. So if, I mean, I understand, right? If you're somebody who has made a complaint and you're hoping to see it resolved,
yes.
How do you escalate that if you're seeing that your initial complaint is not going anywhere?
Well, obviously the social media is very effective, right? So you make the complaint to the correct channel.
Right.
If it's not responding, then you go onto the social media and you tell people, you know, this is not happening. And somebody will bring it to the attention of the management or the mayor or the Federal Territories Minister. Lah. I mean, that's inevitable. Lah. If people are complaining about what's happening in DBKL, even though I'm not managing DBKL as such, and they're supposed to have their mayor and their... you know, executives and so on and so forth. But in the final analysis, it will come to my attention and I have to handle it. But there are times and certain issues that obviously cannot be handled within a day.
Yeah.
Right? So these are things that, as I said, but what's important is that the response to the complainant must be immediate and informing him when he can expect action to be taken. Right. So in the case, in this case, I don't know whether I got it right just now. Bashir did mention, I think, that he was informed that it'll take about a week before action can be taken. So, I mean, that's okay lah. I mean, I don't know whether that response was informed to him within 24 hours, but the action has to take 7 days for some reason or other, which I'm not immediately aware of.
Call us with your questions for Federal Territories Minister Khalid Samad at 77-332-900. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. We've got Zaman on the line. Good evening, Zaman. You have a question?
Yeah, good evening. Hi, YB.
Hi, Zaman.
I'm Zaman from Jalan Kuching.
Jalan Kuching, okay.
Yeah, I baru-baru ni ada tengok YB punya pelancaran akhbar wilayahku tu. Alright, jadi I was thinking that if it is a printed media compared to a social media, we see that social media has been a great testimony over the winning of Pakatan Harapan and over how even Datuk Sri Najib Razak from a very bad image turned to a very good image.
Okay.
I hope you don't mind me.
Yeah, it's okay.
So actually, changes can't happen overnight.
But yeah.
Creating a very good environment through a very good media platform, it's proven testimony is through social media.
Yeah.
So I was thinking that if, let's say, the Federal Territories is planning to do a social media plan to make the Kuala Lumpur people have a very motivated and positive environment.
Yeah. Yes. The Wilayahku newspaper, it has a hard copy and it also has a digital version which comes on onto the social media platform after a day or two of its distribution. The hard copy is still, for many in the younger generation, they say it's not that important, but in actual fact, there is demand for it. And especially in amongst the older generation who still prefer to hold something when they're reading and they can always put it aside and carry on later and so on and so forth. So it still has its niche. So that's why we're doing it. But at the same time, I am actually... trying to upgrade our communications capability for the Federal Territory Ministry. And we've been discussing this. Every department actually, or not to say department, the ministry has its own communications bureau. DBKL has got its own communications department. Also Putrajaya, also Labuan. And what I'm trying to do is that to get them to work better together and to play a more active role in the social media. So I think this is something which we have to upgrade, and I'm hoping that within 2-3 months you'll see some more active news in the social media, or active use of the social media by our ministry and our agencies.
Right. We're speaking today with Federal Territories Minister Khalid Samad. This is our Movers and Shakers Town Hall. So really, it's your show. We want to hear from you with your questions. Call us at 77-332-900. WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Thank you to all the people who have been sending in questions. We will get to that right after this. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Because freedom matters. BFM 89.9.
It's the Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin. You might have just heard a little chuckle there, and that was our Federal Territories Minister, Khalid Samad, taking your questions today in this, our very first episode of the Movers and Shakers Town Hall. It's really an avenue for you to ask your questions. So if you have a burning question, call us 77-332-900, text or WhatsApp us 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And let's see, who do we have on the line? Let's speak to Lau first. Good evening, Lau. What are your thoughts?
Hi. So I am from Kuala Lumpur, and I noticed that we have a lot of MRT going on, but last mile connectivity is always a problem because you only have Grab and trains, and the bus are not that good. So what are your thoughts on improving last mile connectivity in the bus?
Oh no, Lau, I think we're losing that line, but why did you get that question?
Yeah, I think, I agree with what's been stated by Lau, the question of actually the first mile and also the last mile.
Yes. Right?
So this has been an issue that's been troubling KL, and we're looking into that and we're trying to improve that. We need to have a more wholesome approach. And buses can play the role, but obviously Grab still has a role to play, right? So what's important now is that we are expanding the role of the buses, which is being provided by DBKL. I think you must have heard the Go KL buses. We have got two new routes being introduced shortly. One starting by end of February will be the first one, and the other one will be early March. And we will keep on increasing a few more routes where people coming in from the homes to the use of MRT and LRT or commuter, they can then go to their destination through using the buses. But obviously, Grab will still be there and still be required. We can't cover every possible area.
And we have another question here about mobility, and it comes from Fitri in Putrajaya. What is your plans to improve people's mobility in FT, especially in Putrajaya? Buses there are a laughing stock for a modern, vibrant city like Putrajaya. What are your thoughts on it?
Okay, so the bus service currently is being handled by Nadi Putra, and we are aware of the problems. However, our main constraint is the fact that they have a lot of buses, but most of them are old buses, and they've ordered the new electric powered buses, which they promised us will be coming in by the middle of this year. Then when they've got all these new buses, hopefully we can improve. At the same time, we have to bear in mind that we're keeping the bus rates very low. It's only 50 cents, and that's not really the cost, so it's being subsidized. But unfortunately, we are inheriting the system as is, and we have to make the best, best that we can with it while waiting for the new buses to come in.
And I think we've also got another call here. Good evening, Rosli. What are your thoughts?
Assalamualaikum, Datuk.
Assalamualaikum.
So I like to ask about the problem in KL, which obviously is the traffic to the KL.
Yes.
Is there any plan to curb the traffic to come into KL in the morning or any time at all? Because I think everybody still drives to work.
Yes,
so no matter how many MRT line you are building, no matter how many line you are building, they're still going to drive to work. So I'm asking if your ministry is...
Yes, we are.
Number of, and also the parking. So I don't think the number of the parking is very cheap.
Mm.
And then you should bring it and then just limit the number.
Okay. All right. I think I understood your question.
Let me just see if I got that right. Yeah. I think there was an issue of reducing traffic coming into Kuala Lumpur because people are continuing to drive. It's an all-hours problem, which is accurate if you've ever been on the federal. And then I think there's also an issue of parking.
Yes.
And especially with parking rates as well, and how they're expensive and all that.
Did he say it was expensive, or he said it was too cheap?
Was it too cheap?
I really don't think he said it was too cheap. That's a bit much.
Yeah, we are planning to have a situation where we can discourage people from using their cars to come into town. But before we can enforce that, we have to make sure that the alternative is there, right? So, I mean, I can't... asking for people if they want to bring their cars in, then they have to pay, like in Singapore, you have to pay a certain fee or whatever. Mm-hmm. Until I've got the alternative modes of transportation all in place. And so this is being discussed and being studied, and we will move towards a situation where we will discourage people from coming in, and if they want to come in, then they will have to pay. But at the same time, we will ensure that there will be a lot of park and ride locations where they can leave their cars and then come in through the use of public transport. And we've got to make sure that the public transport's functioning according to schedule and going to where places where they're supposed to go, right? So that's one. As far as the parking is concerned, if you were saying that the traffic is being, is heavy because the parking is cheap, so people come into town and they park because it's cheap. Then that's you know, that's one opinion. But again, I can't get punish people unless I start making sure that they've got an alternative. If you're saying that the parking is too expensive, then this is something which hopefully will also help to discourage people from bringing in their cars, right? So this is the situation. Yeah.
Just to follow up on that first point you were saying, in this sort of ideal version of KL where people don't necessarily come in, but if they do, the public transport is working perfectly. When do you think we'll get that?
Well, we're starting to make the plan, okay?
Right.
So I think it'll be a gradual plan where we will start by probably identifying one of the areas where you've got heavy traffic. Then we'll have to have a location where we can have a park and ride, and then ensure that there are buses that will bring the people into town by using the buses, right? So that's something which we hope to be able to start implementing phase by phase. Hopefully by the middle of this year. I've already asked DBKL, the mayor, to make a study which are the main roads coming into KL, which are the ones which are you know, very high traffic volume, and you've got land close by which you can turn into park and ride locations, and we get more buses to do the ferrying of the people into KL.
Very quickly, we've got AJ back on the line. AJ, fingers crossed. What is your question?
Hi, Dr. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, I'm from Setapak.
Okay,
Setapak. Recently, there is a new ANP was built in Danakota.
Sorry, I didn't get a new hospital in Danakota?
No. A new Carrefour.
Carrefour.
Aeon Big. Yeah.
Oh, Aeon Big.
Aeon Big, Danakota.
Okay.
Okay, to my surprise, they have started to operate on December 28 last year, but there was no proper drainage system. They are just doing it now. How can a license be given to a building where you have narrow roads, you have a very bad drainage system, which they are still doing it until now. They haven't completed, but the business is already operating. How can this be approved, Dato? I mean, this is, you know, some sort of, you know, people are saying that corruption is going on.
Okay.
How can a license be approved?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for AJ. I'm so sorry to cut you off. Unfortunately, we have to hit to the news. And YB will answer the question right after that.
After
I hope.
The news. Okay.
In the meantime, we're headed to the news. Keep calling us. 7732900 is that number.
Bigotry Free Malaysia. BFM 89.9.
It's 6:36 and you are listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin. Our guest today for our very first episode of the Movers and Shakers Town Hall is Federal Territories Minister Khalid Samad. And really, we want to hear from you. Ask your questions. Call us at 7733-2900. WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, before the news, we heard from AJ, I believe, a question about how a hypermarket acquired a license to operate when they haven't sorted out their drainage and things like that. Yeah. What is the answer there?
Well, it's a very specific case, so I've got to check. It shouldn't happen. You can't get a certificate of fitness or a CCC until everything is sorted out, including the drainage, sewerage, and everything, right? So what AJ was mentioning is a bit of a surprise. I'll have to check and get back. You know, it shouldn't happen.
We've also got Din on the line who has been holding for quite some time. Din, thank you so much for staying on the line. You have a question?
No. Okay, so Din, we can't quite hear you, but I hope you'll call us back because I think we might be experiencing a bit of a glitch with our phone lines, but we will get back to you. Just stay on the line with us. And I think we have some other questions that are coming in from WhatsApp and Twitter as well.
Yes, we do. So this came in quite a while back from Timothy saying, what is the status of the River of Life project? Has it completed yet? Are there any plans to have cafes or restaurants or shops there?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Timothy, thanks for the question. River of Life project is still ongoing. It's supposed to be completed by 2020. Currently, it's about 80% completion. The project is three phase. One is cleaning, the second is beautification, and third is development. So the cleaning and the beautification is obviously the cleaning is the one that's going on first. The beautification follows. So the areas that have been cleaned will be beautified, and later on the area or the land around the riverbanks will then be developed. Right. So that's how we get back the investment that we make, because the land value along the rivers will increase once the river is has been cleaned and beautified.
And I think we have got Fabian on the line. Let's try this again. Fingers crossed. Fabian, you have a question?
Yes, good evening. Jan Muhammad, I have a question for you.
Yes,
you mentioned just now. You mentioned just now that having high parking rates in the city can somewhat be something like a deterrent to people to drive into the city. Now, my question to you is that if we really want to encourage more people to use public transport, so why do we have parking in LRT stations, chargeable parking, LRT stations, 40, 50 kilometers away from the city? This does not encourage people to sort of utilize public transport. Now, YB Anthony Law, he mentioned that, I mean, he has approved that it's a $100, 100 ringgit kind of a ticket, unlimited travel. That is fantastic. So if we really feel that, that we want to maintain, okay, you cannot some sort like determine with a private parkers how much to charge parking, or that's fine. So why LRT stations come under the jurisdiction of the Transport Ministry, and also in some stations under the Bandaraya. So why do we have to charge parking in these areas if we want to encourage people to take public transport into the city?
Yeah.
So that's my question.
Okay, thank you for your question.
Thanks, Fabian,
thank you for your question. Very relevant. The problem is the whole thing was being planned without taking everything into consideration, right? So when they privatized the building of the MRTs, the LRTs, and so on and so forth, all the parking spaces were also privatized, and you have in part and parcel of the privatization agreement in some cases, right? So this is the situation where you've got all the facilities built up, and the parking has been privatized, and it's a source of income. It's not owned by the government. But this is something which we have to look into. And obviously, if we are able to come up with our own areas where people can park close by and so on and so forth, or we can negotiate with the LRT and MRT station owners and operators, then maybe we can also, how do you say, synchronize all these activities so that it leads to the desired effect, which is to have more people leaving their cars out of the city.
Is the privatization of those spaces an option?
I think it was handled, long before. So it was part and parcel of the project, and we have to then rediscuss and renegotiate with the current operators to see how it can be handled, such that the parking rates can be reduced, and probably you'll have to have some form of subsidy or contra for them, so that they can have other ways of making their income.
Right. We've got Din back on the line. Hopefully, Din, good evening. What are your thoughts?
Yes, good evening. Congratulations for having the courage to be on the radio.
Oh, I didn't know it took courage.
Not many people will be daring enough. Congratulations to
thank
you.
Thank you, Din. Thank you.
I have one question. When are we going to have a Michelin star hawker stall in Kuala Lumpur? Why I'm asking this question is because if you look at under the previous government, a lot of hawker store facility in Kuala Lumpur are in a really, really bad shape.
Yeah.
It was never upgraded in
a deplorable
condition, rats and all that.
Yes.
And hawker store is important because the poor people go there and the small and medium enterprise people do business there.
Okay.
And it's also be a big tourist attraction, as I was telling you, in Singapore.
Sorry, your phone line is breaking up. I'm so sorry, but I think we caught the gist of that question,
I think he must be traveling. He must be moving. Yeah?
Yes.
Okay. I think this is all within. Okay. We have launched a new, a motto for wilayah, which we call Wilayah Peduli, Harapan Dipenuhi. And one of the first trust for this concept is cleanliness, right? So we are going to go in a big way on question of trying to enforce and implement cleanliness, and this includes the question of upgrading food courts and hawker stalls and so on and so forth. So obviously, as I'm sure you understand, it can't be done overnight. It's going to take a lot of spending, and it's going to take a bit of time, right? So we are currently already there have been some programs where they're transferring current hawkers to proper food courts all around the town, all around KL. But in the city centre itself, this also has to be scheduled.
I think in a similar vein, we're also getting questions about tourism. So Imran is saying, how and what should we do to put us on the tourism map? Norhan similarly wants to know what the plans are, because in her words, the KL luster is dying.
Yes. Okay. This is also another issue, which I've noticed that the DBKL Tourism Department, right, has not been very active.
Right.
And this has to be handled by the ministry. There was some misunderstanding or some, blurred lines as to whose responsibility it is, whether it should be handled by my ministry or whether it's supposed to be handled by the Ministry of Tourism, mm-hmm. Arts and Culture, right? But I've decided, and I've discussed with the mayor that, okay, we've got to take this question of tourism on our own. We do what we need to do. If we need additional funds, then we get a contribution from MOTEC, Ministry for Tourism, Arts and Culture. And we are setting up the tourism department for Kuala Lumpur, DBKL, again. And we want to, reactivate it at full swing. We are working closely with a few NGOs and agencies which want to turn Kuala Lumpur into a tourist center with emphasis on arts and culture. And there's a lot of talk of putting up open public theatres for the rakyat and so on and so forth, so that when tourists come, then they will have entertainment throughout the year, where there'll be dance troupes and so on and so forth performing. And these are all ideas which are being mentioned to try to make KL more vibrant and more active. But at the same time, cleanliness is also something that we've got to make sure that we include in the plan, and we upgrade, so that the tourists will be happy to come. It's not completely no improvement. But there's still a lot of areas for improvement. Yeah.
We're speaking today with Federal Territories Minister Khalid Samad, but we want to hear from you. What are your questions? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp us 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Keep it here on The Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Building First World Mindsets, BFM 89.9.
You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin. Today, it's our Movers and Shakers Town Hall. We want to hear from you. Basically, it's your questions that are driving the show. You can call us 7733-2900, text or WhatsApp us 018-789-8899, tweet us at PFM Radio. And why would you do that? You might do that because you have a question for Federal Territories Minister Khalid Samad. As we did from, I believe, on Twitter earlier, let me find it. We had a question that came through from Amril saying, YB, I'm from the peninsula and I don't feel that Labuan is part of the Wilayah Persekutuan. Is there any plan to kind of bring Labuan closer to KL and Putrajaya? Which I think is an interesting point because it's been a very KL-focused show, yeah, understandably. But of course, Labuan's an important part of the conversation.
Yes, definitely. I think you're not alone when you talk about Labuan. Labuan itself also, many of the people there don't feel that they are part of Wilayah Persekutuan still. And I think this is something which is a very important issue that has to be handled. And we're having a lot of programs now in Labuan. And I think they feel that they've been left out all this while. Yeah? So they're not in Sabah. They're not really in wilayah. So they don't know whom to turn to. And there's been a lot of promises that have not been delivered all these many years. I've got to give them the assurance that we want Labuan to be turned into the Pearl of Borneo, as it was once referred to. And we want to have various programs with the ministry actively involved in trying to develop the industry and the economy, and provide the kind of economic growth and so on and so forth. Labuan has a lot of potential. I think the moment the ministry shows that it's looked upon with a great importance, then they will feel more like part of Wilayah Persekutuan. And for us, we have to make sure that whatever programs that's been held and so on and so forth, and whatever projects that we do, what tourism centres that we develop in Labuan, we inform the people of Wilayah Persekutuan, which is in the peninsula part of it, so that people keep abreast with all the developments, and they know that this is part and parcel of the wilayah territory. Yeah, it's not easy, but this is Malaysia lah. Yeah, if we can succeed in federal territories, Kuala Lumpur, Putrajaya, and Labuan, then I think the unification of Malaysia between Peninsula, Sabah, and Sarawak can also be achieved. Yeah, so we are a small, a model of Malaysia in that context.
Right. We've got Taufik on the line now. Good evening, Taufik. You have a question?
Hi, so thank you for taking my call at BFM. I'm basically a young urban design firm. So we're going to ask the question regarding business startup, vibrancy and livability in the city. So since we're sort of looking into Kuala Lumpur as being the transformation industry for Menno, and we're trying to achieve sustainable socioeconomic growth, I just wondered, what do you think in terms of the era of aggressive business application? For example, when Boston pitched for Amazon to open an MNC campus there, whereas at Kuala Lumpur, like, are we going to sort of also be more business aggressive in pitching for example, Grab or Google to open a business campus right in town? And then second, in terms of talent and in terms of place, I mean, how are we going to sort of be technology adaptable, making KL as a hub for young startups and businesses, since we are a city of, young industry, young demography. Yeah, and I think that, we also have like a platform in this city akin to like a Stanford startup lab to be right in the middle of the city center, because things are at the moment a bit fragmented. Thank you.
Thanks, Taufik.
All right, so that question from Taufik, if I could just sum it up. Yeah, it's please. About looking into Transformation 4.0. You know, how can we make KL a competitive city for human capital, like the likes of Stanford Startup Labs, we have Amazon.
Okay.
And then also, of course, looking at how then do we create and generate the talent for it in KL to meet the needs of, I guess, also Industrial Revolution 4.0.
Yeah, okay. Obviously, that's not something that can be handled by my ministry alone. It's a multi-ministerial kind of planning where we've got the MITI also to get involved for the investment. We've got the MASTEC also to be involved with respect to science and technology and the development of the new technologies under the Industrial Revolution 4.0. There's a lot have been talked about, but as far as our stand is concerned, obviously we are very pro development and advancement in science and technology. We want Kuala Lumpur to be a smart city, making use of and having room for the use of all the latest technology in terms of traffic management and monitoring safety and environment and so on and so forth. But that's not something that I can, you know, on the part of Kuala Lumpur, for my ministry, have all the answers. Mm. What's important is that we are open to all possible suggestions and all possible ideas with respect to how to give room for the younger generation to come up and develop the new technology in their fields. KL Invest, Invest KL is also another entity which is under, well, it's currently under MITI, but we are trying to get it to be under my ministry so that we can use that as the platform to bring in new investments and new ideas. And I think if anybody wants to start up a new kind of technological industry within Kuala Lumpur, we will obviously be very open to it.
So, YB, we have 5 minutes left with you. It's going to be a bit of a lightning round because there are a lot of questions that we have not managed to get to. One very interesting one from Deep. Course, we had a conversation when this was announced late last year about clubs and bars in Kuala Lumpur closing at 1 a.m. It was a bit of a fiery conversation, I have to tell you. And Deep says he feels that it could have been better handled, perhaps more consultancy. You know, could you comment on that idea of, you know, sort of consulting with stakeholders when it comes to making policy and announcements, and perhaps you want to comment on how that whole situation played out as well.
Okay, actually, I think the media didn't. Well, I don't want to blame the media, but basically, it was a suggestion that was brought by the mayor. He felt that it's better that all the nightclubs and entertainment outlets close by 1 a.m. It was not a decision. But it was a suggestion, and I explained the reason for the decision based on our own experiences and the police and so on and so forth. But in the end, it was a matter that was decided in the Majlis Menteri Wilayah. And the Majlis Menteri Wilayah is a platform where all the 11 MPs in Kuala Lumpur are involved. And from there, we do get the feedbacks and we do undertake the consultation. And in the final analysis, was the result or the decision is that there are about 672 entertainment outlets in KL. Most of them close at 1 o'clock anyway. There are only about 20 or 30 over that close at 5 a.m., and these are all in the city centre. There are about 200 that close at 3 a.m. and these are also mainly in the city centre. So what was agreed is that they follow what's specified in their licences, right? So in the final analysis, what we all agreed on is that we have the licenses and all these licenses specify, it stipulates what time they're supposed to close, so we just enforce that.
There's okay. also a lot of questions coming in about road quality in Kuala Lumpur, ooh, potholes and the like. Yeah, any comments on that?
Well, it's not, I don't know, maybe there's something, you know, with the quality of our workmanship or quality of our building materials, I'm not too sure, but as I think everyone will agree, it's not something that is unique just to KL. We've got that problem all over. And I don't know why exactly as yet. But we will have to find a solution to the problem. Maybe it's because of the weather, the rain and sun and so on and so forth, which causes the repair works needing a higher spec in order to be more permanent. And that's something that we have to look into. And again, it's not completely under my ministry. It has to be handled by the Works Department and the Works Ministry to ensure that you have a long-lasting solution whenever you have potholes that's being repaired and so on and so forth. So it's not that it's not being repaired. It's being repaired, but it cracks up. Almost after, well, not quite immediately, but after a short time. So I think that is the question of the specifications and the quality of the workmanship that has to be further enforced.
So the next one's not so much a question as it is just something to take away. Almost, I would say 60% of our questions have been about traffic. I know you've answered this already, but just to say that it is a major concern of people living in KL. And I think we have run out of time. Just very quickly before I let you go. So the learning curve in the government is one that a lot of people have been talking about, a lot of ministers. Do you think it's getting better?
I think it's getting better. We have to acknowledge that we have to handle problems that we inherit. I mean, let's say, for example, the ECRL. That's a major problem. Yeah? So we have to discuss and we have to decide and we've got to handle that. But what's most important to me, my last statement, is that we've got a clean government. We know that the money that comes into the country and comes into the coffers is not going away anywhere besides going towards the people. Right. So that, I think, is a very important distinction, right, between the previous government and the current government. And it's something to build on.
Yeah. YB, thank you so much for joining us. We've been speaking today with Federal Territories Minister Khalid Samad, and now we have to head to the news.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.